Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, my motion for conditional use number 1924, applicant being Colony Pool Service, is for deferral at this time for further consideration, and also to allow Chairman Wheatley to weigh in should he so choose.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use 1924, Colony Pool Service, to allow the chairman to weigh in on this matter if he chooses to. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next on for public hearings, I refer back to conditional use number 1925, Piedmont Leasing.
Mr. Chairman, on conditional use 1925, I move we defer further consideration by the commission and to allow an opportunity for Mr. Wheatley and Mr. Burton to participate.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1925 Piedmont Leasing and to allow the chairman and Commissioner Burton to weigh in on this application. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Now, gentlemen, I think we've covered about everything on our agenda, unless something else I missed. Is there anything else to be brought before the commission?
I have a couple items, Mr. Chairman, one of which I've passed down to Mr. Lank. Over the past few years, this has been a long, drawn-out process, but I've been at different times participating in a subcommittee, which is acting as a revision of the sediment and stormwater program. It's been an interesting and drawn-out process. And what I have here is a link to a website, should any of the members of the commission want to link on this. You can review what Ms. Elaine Webb, acting as chief engineer on this revision, has put together from and for public comment. So I'll pass that down to Mr. Lank if anybody wants to log on to that and review that that aspect. They may do so. And the other thing, I'll yield the floor to Mr. Robertson. He and I'd had a discussion about what I mentioned. Mr. Robertson, if you'll bring us up to speed.
On the, as we talked about a bunch of things.
On the
final
site plans.
Yeah, we had talked about, particularly this one was an example that sort of, not to single it out, but, as we've got some of these older ones that are coming before the commission, and now with the extensions that we, granted, sort of the blanket extensions, one of the things we probably ought to start doing on the preliminary approvals going forward is require the original conditions to be put on the final site plan so everybody knows what they were. You don't have to go digging back through files to see, what they were. It's right there on the site plan like these folks did, which was helpful.
That's what we normally do.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
On conditional uses.
On the conditional uses, but
the subdivision or issue that you have to show, you don't have to note it. Tax has to be changed.
Yeah, but that way we would know, or anybody looking at them exactly what they say. So it's not any different than, as Lauren said, on a conditional use. So, as we're seeing more requests for modifications of conditions, or things that were shown on a site plan, it would probably be helpful that if we knew what the original words were as we approve a final site plan as well. To me, that's a benefit to the commission, but it's also a benefit to a developer or applicant because, if somebody's coming in asking for a modification, it's in the past been deferred so that, Lawrence or the commission can go back and look and see, all right, was this just something that they said they would do or was it a condition and it wastes a month of everybody's time? Whereas if it's right there, we could say, okay, well, it was just shown on the site plan. It wasn't a condition. So it's, in that case, it's okay to change it maybe, Whereas if it's a condition, we know that there must have been some reason for doing it. So kind of what we talked about was just getting some uniformity in how these final site plans.
We had a discussion last meeting about one of the projects. Mr. Johnson expressed concern about the same issue.
It showed up on the final site plan, but it wasn't listed as a condition.
Right.
But it was still part of the exhibit that was presented to the public hearing process.
Yes.
And we're not preempting. If we did this, which is keeping along what we do with conditional uses, we're not preempting anyone's opportunity to request that a particular condition be changed, waived, or whatever. I'm sure, speaking for everyone on the commission, if we've made an error or done something that we feel, it could be an item of something that isn't significant at this point. I'm sure we listen to those appeals. We're not negating that. We're just updating our information. We're serving ourselves better. I mean, I could
but
take
a... But you get a situation where, as part of the presentation, even though it wasn't a condition, and there wasn't any opposition, but it's still a record. So should it be a part of the... It's still part... Now, even though it's not made a condition, it was exhibited in the presentation, so...
I know, just from speaking from historically from my 10 years at this, if it was a significant part of a presentation, you know, it's, if it was on the site plan, it was shown, but if it's a proffer or something significant, there was effort made to document in the conditions. Now, that didn't always happen, or maybe, you know, it wasn't necessarily something that anybody thought was significant, but if it was an amenity that was proffered or a time period or something like that, you know, we wanted to make sure it was documented, so.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with the conditions being on there. I don't think we want to bring subjectivity into it and open up the record and start to pick things in the public record, because then everybody in awkward situations.
If we go back, and since our minutes are in summary, they don't tell everything.
That's right.
If it was,
so the tape is there.
Especially when you have no opposition, it makes it, if you have opposition, you can always pick up and see that there was opposition, the commission picked up on the opposition, asked questions of the applicant responded, then it should be a condition. And it may be bound to it. But a lot of the things that you discuss in these reviews of revisions are things that were proffered by the applicant, and the commission in the approval process said, well, they proffered it, they should do it. Because that's what people heard, and that's what people reviewed. And even if they didn't come to the public hearing, they reviewed it in the file and they saw there was proposed to be sidewalks on both sides, for example. And if then they proffered it and it was a condition that makes it difficult.
And even taking those things out of it, it could be something such as perhaps it was, I'll say in my district where neighbors had said, please have the construction, you know, have the construction traffic go on the south side of the property or whatever. That could be something that could slip through, and yet, you know, then when the site's being built out, if they put it right in the middle or something like that, because I think we've tried to be mindful of Mr. Robertson and Mr. Ross, particularly, you know, where will the trucks come and go as this is being built? You know, it's not through the main entrance.
Well, Delta, on most occasions, I would say, recreates a construction entrance to serve that site for the construction equipment so that the primary entrance doesn't get destroyed in the process of construction, because that's typically just one of the first thing goes in. So they have a construction entrance that's separate, but not all projects. It all depends on the size of the project and how long they anticipate it's going to be under development.
So, gentlemen, is this something you want to have placed on the agenda for at a future meeting?
I don't think that's anything, you know, we need to really. I mean, it's just something that we can deal with.
Is it an administrative procedure?
Yeah.
We just need to remember. Yeah, we just need to make sure it's done.
Yeah. And going forward on preliminaries require it, like we do on conditional uses, you know. And,
as long as we have room left for the site plan, I'm good.
Yeah, right. It'll start looking like the CNN screen, right? Yeah.
The minor subdivisions, the little two or three lotters, and they put them on a small sheet, and they come in with all these findings and notes, and they edit, and there's not much room to find a place to stamp the draw.
Okay, Mr. Smith, anything else?
I would add to Vince, you've heard us say that we've got an intern that's working with us. He's reviewed several. We've reviewed parking. He's reviewed churches. We've reviewed something else. He's taking these issues that
the whole code
provide to him, and he looked at the whole code and it's finding some things that are inconsistent or, you know, disagree with other statements within the same code. And we're going to be preparing some ordinances for the commission's consideration and the council's introduction so that we can proceed with some amendments. And a lot of them are just tweaks, house cleaning. That's what the council's asked us to do first, is to get those issues that just need to be addressed, there's conflicts in the ordinance, basically. And part of that was the parking we've already discussed. We've already seen it in a couple of projects recently.
In the parking, is there any research being done to consider for compact car parking or that sort of thing?
There's already a section in the code that makes reference to compact cars.
And we
and how you place, you only put so many together, and like in a big parking lot, you can only have so many together, or you can't, because it's kind of different, because they're smaller, they're less, they don't have the depth, so they end up creating a conflict of the parking layout if you don't keep them basically in places together, say three or four together max.
Is there a max allowed, or?
The ordinance doesn't have, so the max for how many compact cars you can put in one spot.
They still count as one space, right?
Yeah, it still counts as one space, but you distribute them throughout the project. It would be signed for a compact car. To my little black HHR, I consider it a compact, and nobody in Rehoboth has said anything about it yet, so. So I guess it is a compact, they're not complaining. Fits in the spot.
If you see the sticker on the windshield, you're okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and the church issue was, I guess, instigated. I don't want to say instigated, that's probably not the right word. We did some thinking when we went through the issue with the Just Soup, and we saw that we need to address the issues of what is a church and what kind of amenities can they have related to a church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something we're going to be discussing in the near future.
I noticed in tonight's site plan that there was a church we approved. I approved or made the motion to approve, and it had a fellowship hall and a kitchen and the whole thing in there.
Typically, probably at least once every other month, we've always had a church site plan.
Right.
It's 6 to 10 a year that we get for new church sites.
They must have good cooks.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
Either that or renegade flocks that are having to build a new church.
Look, more the merrier, right? It's a good thing.
And the intern is reviewing some other things that for us. I emailed him once this week, and he responded.
We all put him on
pretty
the spot
quick.
Some
I responded. He's been pretty good for the amount of time. He's only the little mini contract is for 150 to 180 hours, I believe, and he's probably used what almost 25% of that already.
I'm sure more than that,
or maybe 30.
If he's studying for law school, these are probably just billable hours and not total hours anyway. So,
Okay, gentlemen, I ask for the fifth time, is there any other matters to be brought before the commission? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned.
7:25.
Peace and harmony prevail.
How's the season going, Mr. Robinson?
Well, it starts a new season. This is the AAU now. So.
Dad got
no, I haven't been teed up on anything yet.
Not this season. It's still early.
See ya.
John, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you all. I'm just trying to catch a cold here.
I told him I thought it was in the fob. Shane had an emergency today, and I hadn't reviewed the fob. So. And that wasn't an issue anyway.
Right.
But their concern was that there's only three members here. And,
yeah, right.
And it was really 05 application. They won't bring yourself up to snuff.
Good.